Good morning to you all. Come in to today's programme Tuesday. We're with you right through until 12 midday. We're looking at the election of a Taoiseach. We'll be keeping a close eye on that as the morning progresses here on Galway BFM. We're looking at stricter laws as well for damaging defibrillators. We're looking at retiring from politics. MEP Maria Walsh, though, lifts the lid on deep fake, which is quite serious. And also today we're looking at figures for the Galway A&E. Eating healthy for midlife is something we'll be looking at on today's programme. We have trending topics, we have chronic pain, and we've got Music Mornings, a talented musician indeed with his own works. That and more between now and 12 midday. A very good Tuesday morning to you. Now, a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Well, the Fine Gael leader Simon Harris is set to be elected Taoiseach in the Dáil today. Or is he the 37? Well, he's either 37 or 38. We're saying 37, others are saying 38. Will he be appointed Taoiseach after the surprise resignation of Leo Varadkar as party leader 3 weeks ago? I want to go, though, to the telephone line because I want to go to Sean Canny, who couldn't join us last week due to a family bereavement, and joins me on the line today. Sean, good morning to you. Thanks, Steve, for joining us today on the programme. First off, condolences. You lost your sister-in-law, so you couldn't join us last week. So condolences to you and to Geraldine on the loss of her sister. From a voting point of view, have you decided, are you going to support the incoming Taoiseach?
Well, I've made up my mind this morning after consultation with people and also with further discussions with Simon Harris's team last night. And I think it's important to state that we need to have stability right now because there's lots of things happening in the world. And I do believe that there is a need to have stability in this country. And we have lots of things that are happening and we have a housing situation that we need to deal with. Yesterday also there was the North-South Ministerial Council met, and at that they agreed the publication of the All-Ireland Rail Review, which is very important for the West of Ireland. And I think I need to be there to make sure that what's in that review is implemented as soon as possible. And I've got a commitment from Simon Harris that he's totally supportive of the project, as is Micheál Martin and as is Eamon Ryan. So I think it's important that I work with them to get a project like that off the ground. And rather than leaving it, if we had an election now, you could find that it could be thrown down the road again for another 2 or 3 years. So we need to work on these things.
So your decision, your decision then to support him in the election, he didn't need the, he didn't need your vote, but it's a vote of confidence in him coming in as leader. But you have a wish list for him and you're hoping that he will deliver on that wish list for the West of Ireland.
Well, that's part of the process in the sense that there are a number of other projects that need to be done, especially in Galway East, and he's very much aware of them, and I'll be working with him on that. But also I would say that when I met him last week, we spent an hour and a half talking, and I suppose nearly half of that time we spent talking about housing and the lack of housing.
Yeah.
And with my own background in construction, I was offering him some ideas as to what he might do to try and rejuvenate the private housing sector, which is dysfunctional at the moment in this country, and how we can get young people back into the housing so that they can actually, people who are working, young couples and young people who are working, that they can actually buy a house at an affordable price. And as I was explaining to him, the process is moving way too slow. There's an ambition to do things, but it's been hamstrung by the fact that we have too many regulations, too many what I would call gateways of approvals to go through before you actually get a project to site. He agrees with it. He has been a former minister in the OPW, so he understands the process. And I've said to him that we need to take the shackles off the local authorities. We need to take the shackles off from deeper so that we allow projects to proceed with haste, and that people will then see things happening on the ground, and okay, it will give young people the confidence to wait in this country.
All right, so you're going to be in Dáil Éireann then to support him today, and hopefully he is well in tune indeed through retiring Kieran Cannon that he knows what East Galway needs. But Sean Canny, thank you indeed for joining us today on the programme, and a very good morning to you, Sean Canny, joining us there. And again, condolences to his wife Geraldine, who lost her sister in Carlisle last week as well, which I was not aware of, but a lovely family, but a sad time for them. We've got clarity on that now, though. Let me go to Deputy Eamon O'Queeve, who must be one of the longest serving members of Dáil Éireann at this stage. Eamon O'Queeve, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Are you the longest, or is Michael Ring longer than you serving in Dáil Éireann?
No, I'm not the longest, and neither is Michael Ring. Michael Ring's a few years shorter than I am. But you've got Willie O'Dea, you've got a good number, Bernard Durkin and so on. You've a fair number. Micheál Martin was in 89. Now,
are you saying that Michael Ring was shorter in stature, or are you saying in years?
No, I'm saying he is less amount of time.
Glad you clarified that.
Than I have. All right, I got in 92. I think he got in 94. You might remember there was a by-election and he got in. Mm. So he was a kind of midterm. Looking around, I'm one of the longest serving, but by no means the longest. There are people going back to 1982.
But you've seen a lot of Taoiseach coming to the plinth, indeed, on their first morning or their first afternoon. Today you're going to see that because you're in government with Fine Gael and the Green Party. So you will be there to congratulate Simon Harris. How do you get on with them?
I wouldn't know him that well, but I've had some dealings with him, and he's always been very courteous. I have to say that about him. Mm-hmm. Of course, this is a unique occasion in a number of ways. He's the youngest Taoiseach since the office of Taoiseach came in 1937. And as well as that, this is the first time we're going to have had three Taoiseach different Taoiseach in the one term of government. We've had two quite often when, say, a Taoiseach resigns and somebody replaces them, but we've never had three.
He is young, but do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, I don't think it's any issue. Your age isn't what counts.
No, but you made the point.
I'm only stating that as a chronological fact. I think what a party does is pick who they see is the best person for the job, and that's it, and it's the Fine Gael pick, and I respect that.
And would you think that some of the pundits are saying we will have an election in October. Others are saying he's going to stay until next year. And he's saying publicly next year. You're a long time in politics, Eamon O'Queeve. What's your gut on this one?
Well, if it's controllable, the three leaders have all said next year. So you're talking about
February,
the
March.
Spring. And I'd imagine, March election. I'd imagine they'll try to go, if they go into the spring after Christmas, they'll try to go as far as they can, because a bit of length in the day is kind of important in elections.
Yeah.
Humour's better, you have more opportunity to canvass and so on. The latest date that the Dáil can be dissolved is the 20th of February. So you could add 3 to 4 weeks onto that to get you the latest date for an election. And that would bring you into March. And as you know, there's a bit of a stretch in the evenings, even in early March.
But you think it'll go that far?
Well, I do, except for the unforeseeable. And as we've seen in the last month, north and south, the unforeseeable is the only thing you can foresee in politics.
Mm. All right, Eamon O'Queeve, thank you for joining us today on the programme. That's Deputy Eamon O'Queeve and his thought process and his longevity in the Dáil as well, I have to say. And now, though, let me just change and go to another guest indeed who's joining me on the line at this stage. I want to go to Senator Sean Kyne. Now, Sean wouldn't have a vote in today's because he's in the Senedd, but he'd have a good grasp of what is going on inside in the Senedd, in the Dáil today. And Sean, morning to you. Thanks for joining us today. How can you see, there'll be no surprises here, will there?
Well, if you believe the speculation, there's a number of names in the mix, assuming all goes well and Simon is elected as Taoiseach later on. So there's definitely two vacancies in terms of Leo's and Simon Coveney's position. So there'll be at least two promotions, and whether there's any changing ground of personnel as well, as well as the two promotions. And then there'll be a few junior ministers to be announced tomorrow as well.
Did you get any call from the Senedd to go into the cabinet?
Well, I still have the phone on, but no. As I joke to colleagues, the quickest way for a new Taoiseach to make enemies would be to overlook the talent within the backbenches of the TD. MPs and existing ministers and ministers of state. So there'll be no call-ups from anyone from the Shannon. But look, I know it's a difficult situation that Simon faces. It's a great situation, but I know it's difficult because there will be people that will be disappointed and like to wish Hildegard well in her in whatever happens her case, and you know, she's every chance of being promoted to full cabinet as well. And you know, it is difficult decisions for an incoming Taoiseach to make, and I know Leo when he was there faced some difficult calls and disappointed people, and that has repercussions as well longer term.
It is, but there's only so many that he can bring. I mean, I take it he will bring the closest to him, the closest that he worked with. Now, you are one of those people, but you're saying that that's not what he should do, even though you would leave the phone on and take it from there. But I mean, he can only do so much. I would hope that he will leave Hildegard Nocton, because we need representation in the west of Ireland. We haven't had it since Eamon O'Quiva said that 1,000 times this week. So I would hope that we would still, because she's still sitting at the cabinet table, and we need somebody for Galway to be sitting at that table.
Yeah, I was privileged to be there for a very short while.
That's and right, too. Yeah.
Had I won my seat the last time, I'd have been still there for the last number of years. But look, that's life. But yeah, we haven't had anybody since Eamon O'Quive from Galway West. Of course, we've had a Taoiseach in the west of Ireland and senior ministers like Michael Ring as well, delivering for rural Ireland for the west.
But you can
yeah,
see
we
the
haven't had anyone in Galway West since Eamon O'Quive.
No, but you can see the benefit in Mayo. Look at the funding that Mayo County Council get. Look at the road infrastructure that Mayo got, because Enda Kenny was there, Michael Ring was there, and others, many others as well. I know Derek Cleary is there now, but maybe he doesn't have the same clout for it. But we need one of those people in Galway that can shout for us.
Yeah, look, it makes a difference. But I mean, look, we haven't got a ring road because we haven't got planning permission.
No.
You know, we have a bypass in Mycullen, thankfully, and that's built and open. So, I mean, there is delivery. But as I said on numerous occasions, you cannot deliver projects unless there is unless there's planning and consent and they've gone through processes. But look, absolutely. I mean, obviously, senior cabinet ministers, every constituency would like to have them. But it doesn't always okay. happen. And I mean, he's tough calls to make in terms of obviously gender, in terms of geography. So those will both play in Hildegard's benefit as well. So, you know, he has tough decisions. We're in the final year of the government if it lasts that long. So look, it is game on for the next election anyway.
All right. Just by the way, just on the outer ring road that we're talking about, and again, I heard it from one of your political colleagues. I don't mean a Fine Gael colleague, but an independent colleague. But I'm led to believe that on board Planola are not in a position to make any ruling on the outer ring road for Galway, because Galway County Council have not furnished and will not be furnishing the adequate information that they need until June. Have you heard that?
I know that they've been preparing information. I mean, the council have to ensure that whatever plans they have are compatible with the climate action plan. That was what scuppered us the last time. So whatever information they provide has to ensure that it complies with that. And indeed, the question then arises is, when will the next climate action plan be published, and will that also scupper plan? So this is, and there's also the issue in relation to the review of the transportation policy for Galway as well, which is in the offing. So those two things are in the mix. So they have to be gotten right. I mean, the transportation strategy review has to be compatible with the application and with the climate action plan as well that's been made.
All right. Sean, thank you for joining us today. But I was quite staggered, I have to say, when I heard that the information had not gone in. But they have to be careful, and they have to do it according to the situation that they're dealing with. Now, though, let's take a short commercial break, and we're back just after these. Now, though, comment lines are open, and we want to hear from you today. 086 38 33 55 3. And they're open. You can also call Fiona on 091 770 077.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.
Yeah, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme with you right through until 12 midday. And I'm looking at Constantine McNeilis, who seems to know more than I know today, and I don't know an awful lot. But he's calling on the new Minister for Justice to urgently bring in a law that it's called the Life-Saving Bill. Following the damage to a defibrillator in Galway City this week, the Labour councillor Neil McNeilis, who sits up to me, is calling on the new Minister for Justice to urgently bring in the law, the life-saving bill, that was first introduced in 2017. Do you know something I don't know? Is Helen McEntee not going to be the new Minister for Justice?
Well, I think we're playing musical chairs today. We'll figure out what's happening. I mean, this bill, Keith, was first introduced in 2017, and it's gone through two readings in the Senate, and it's been stalled since 2022. And this is legislative limbo. And I suppose if Helen McEntee is reappointed or keeps her job, I mean, she needs to do it. I mean, this is a bill that is so important that needs to be tackled.
What exactly is it?
So the life-saving bill was introduced in 2017. Currently, if you do anything like throw a life buoy in the water or damage a defibrillator, you will be charged under the Criminal Damage Act from 1991. That really doesn't, deter somebody from actually damaging life-saving equipment. This life-saving equipment bill would turn around and give a minimum fine, maximum fine of up to €50,000 and 5 years in jail. Currently, at the moment, we have an average of about 5,000 cardiac arrests in Ireland a year. That's an average of about 13 a day. And the average response time from the ambulance service is 28 minutes. Now, if you can get to somebody within 10 minutes with a defibrillator, you have a chance of saving that person.
Yeah.
And what happened in town the last night, where a defibrillator was damaged and thrown on the ground, I mean, if somebody had needed a defibrillator at that stage, then that person was dead. So to me, this is what this life-saving equipment bill is about.
I'll come back to the life-saving bill in a moment. Which defibrillator was damaged?
It was at the back of Chi Coley's, just where the Galway Market is. We were sitting next to the Cygnus Walk there. And fair juice to James Rehill from Smart Medical. I rang him, he came in, he fixed it straight away. So it was replaced. But what we did in the period of 12 hours, where if you were to ring 999 right now, they would tell you there's a defibrillator just at the back of Chi Coley's, opposite St. Nicholas's Church. You would have arrived there, and that defibrillator had to be put inside Chi Coley's for the night because we couldn't leave it outside because it was damaged.
Well, what mind goes in and picks it up and throws it down and smashes it on the ground?
I don't know. I mean, it's the same thing with your life buoys every week. I mean, you've had Roger Sweeney on, where we've over 600 life buoys across the country now have had to have special pins put on them so that you know that they've been damaged or removed. That's new technology. But a stolen life buoy is a stolen life, as Roger always says. But the other issue is that by turning around and actually, making sure that people realise that if you actually do damage a defibrillator or steal a life buoy or stick a life buoy up as a clothesline in your house, that you're actually, taking away somebody's chance to be saved. I've seen, with the Claddagh patrols that have gone on the river walk, I've seen people who have been in the water and running and looking for a life buoy. And the coroner will tell you, if a life buoy had been there or a defibrillator had been there, that person would have been saved.
Can I go back though to what you said and what you're trying to get the new Minister for Justice, maybe Ivana Batic has far more information than we have here. But I mean, the situation is you're talking there about a fine of up to 50,000. Who implements that? Because I know some people who've been before the courts, not that far long ago, and some yesterday indeed, that never paid their fines. So what happens then?
Well, there's three reasons you would actually implement a bill in the first place. One is that you'll have a criminal sanction. So that you know that there's actually going to be, if you're going to do something, you'll try and deter somebody by saying the maximum amount will be 50,000. The second thing is it's possible to implement. So that's up to the courts to implement it. And at the moment, the courts are only doing the Criminal Damage Act. And that doesn't deter anybody from doing damage to these. And the third option is an educational dimension to this bill, so that actually people will see that, look, at the end of the day, this is not just a clothesline for your house, the piece of rope that you're going to steal. This is actually something that can actually be used to save somebody. And, the defibrillator, like, we have a footfall of about 250,000 people in Galway per week. They're the facts and figures that have been done from Galway Chamber. And an average, again, is that we have 55% of every 100,000 will suffer a cardiac arrest per population. So when you have nothing there to save somebody, so who's going to implement it? Well, if somebody steals something or damages something and is brought before the courts then have to have a way to actually turn around and say, look, it clearly says here, that this is the maximum fine here. This is attempted murder. This is law.
It's on the statute books, and just get it in there. So what has been the delay then?
I don't know. I mean, 2017 was first introduced. It was read in the Senate for the second time in 2018, and then it's been stalled and legislative limbo since 2022. I don't know. I mean, this is something because all the parties agreed with it. Every single time it was read, each of the parties agreed with it. It's there to be just finished off. And that's why.
But it's a process, and I know it very well. When you start it to when you finish it, it can take up to 2.5 years.
Yeah.
But not from 2017.
Yeah, we're nearly,
to now.
Yeah, nearly eight years. Yeah, yeah, nearly 8 years. And again, is I don't know, has it been prioritised? It's just been pushed to the back of the pack. What other stuff, you know, that was needed? You know, the hate crime bill has been pushed through very, very quickly, and legislation for that. So this needs to be like a last debate in 2022. I mean, like it's there. I mean, it was introduced by a Fianna Fáil senator. Before that, it was introduced by a Sinn Féin senator in the previous government. I mean, so everybody wants it, and you know, when you look at the minutes of the various debates, you know, the support is there, the vote is there, and both, you know, Irish Water Safety want to see this happening. I've been working with the National Ambulance Service and trying to see how we can map out these defibrillators across the country, and they want to see this happening as well. I mean, we've 9,000 AEDs in the country, and you know, we've to map them out.
What's an AED?
Your defibrillator.
Okay.
You know, so basically, it's your
9,000.
9,000 around the country, but not every one of them is working. Not every one of them is accessible. So, you know, they might be inside the library rather than outside the library. So you have to figure out where they are. So if we're going to put them and make them accessible, then they need to be made sure that they're safe to be used.
But they're an expensive item. I know you can get one, cheaper ones indeed that'll only operate once. But I mean, they're expensive items, so they'd want to be respected by the public.
It's been €1,500 to €2,000 for a defibrillator, yeah, with the box and installing it and everything like that. I'm involved in a project at the moment with Concertone Alliance in Achnacarra, where we're going to be installing four in Achnacarra, where we put into the budget. But also, with my other day job, we've been distributing these all over the country with Sigma retail partners. And, you know, from talking to the National Ambulance Service, they want more of these out there. And if it's €1,500, I mean, Keith, I mean, this is a life-saving piece,
absolutely,
of equipment, you know. And when
there
going back to the,
be one in every house.
Well, I mean, that new thing that James was in, I think, with you a couple of weeks ago with Smart Medical, this one-use defibrillator, it's absolutely brilliant. It's the size of a mobile phone. You break it in half, you stick it on, it gives you 20 shocks, and they're not huge money. And every single resident association should be getting one.
Yeah, Councillor Kenny indeed has, rather than putting posters up, he's bought them. Was on with us a few weeks ago, indeed, on a Monday morning, telling us all about it. He bought them. He's not putting up posters, but this is what he's doing.
Yeah, I bought four of them as well with my day job, and we distribute them to sports clubs, and it's absolutely brilliant. You just put in the kit bag and there you go. But not every club is going to have one of these. And then, you know, when you hear from the coroner and you find out that there wasn't a defibrillator, or they thought that the defibrillator was there, or somebody didn't have the key for it, I mean, that's where, you know, it becomes an issue. But the simple idea that somebody would go out and break something that's a life-saving piece of equipment, shame on them, first of all. But it's just remember, if you can get somebody within 10 minutes of the very first part of that cardiac attack, you have a chance of saving that person.
And are you speaking as a councillor or the Clatterwatch, chairperson of Clatterwatch?
I'm speaking as a councillor, because this is something I've been involved in for a long time, working with Roger Sweeney in the city centre. But also, I'm chair of Clatterwatch as well. And you know, we've a very good team there that looks at the lifebuoys. We've worked with Roger on this. We patrol the waterways. We replace lifebuoys on a daily basis, working with Cora, the warden in Galway City Council, who does a brilliant job.
Dynamite. Sure. Yeah.
She's brilliant. And, you know, like, you get a call, but, I mean, you know, lifebuoy.ie, but by the time you report it and say it's there, it's missing, and it takes a period of time to get it replaced. And now, as soon as Cora knows that it's missing, she's in there and she replaces it. Or
yeah,
we've got someone in the warehouse as well.
They're not cheap.
And again, is that, you know, I can't understand. I mean, there was somebody came into me the last day, dropped into the shop in town, where a lifebuoy had been thrown, you know, dropped into their pub, where guys on the way home decided to bring it home as a trophy. And just, you know, I don't know what kind of trophy you need to have on the mantelpiece of a lifebuoy. And again, is the amount of times that Roger has told me that they've seen the ropes and these being used for clotheslines is just staggering.
All right. Well, again, let's throw it open, and let's leave it open indeed to any politician to come back and see, give us a full update as to where that life-saving bill is. It's somewhere, but it's stuck in limbo somewhere.
Let's say limbo since 2022.
Yeah, let's find limbo. Constantine McNeilis, thank you for joining us. Quick commercial break. We're back just after these. We're looking at somebody else leaving politics next.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.
A very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. A publican and poll topper has decided he's opting out of politics ahead of the forthcoming local elections taking place this coming June. Councillor Tim Broderick, and he joins me on the line today. Tim, morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining us today. Sad to see you go. I mean, you've been a very, very good councillor for the area as well. When did you make the decision?
I suppose I've been mulling over the decision, Keith, for a year or two now. You know, I would say back as far as we would have done a local area planning ban this low just over 2 years ago. And since then, you know, I've been mulling over it, and I finally made the decision mid-March.
Hard decision to make or an easy decision to make?
And absolutely, of course, it's a difficult decision to make, you know, and my 15 years in local politics have been very enjoyable. And, you know, I'm leaving with no regrets and no sour notes, you know.
Yeah. You worked tirelessly as an independent candidate, I have to say, and you fought the fight, and you didn't lie down and let people walk over you.
Yeah, well, including yourself on occasions, Keith. I used to always feel that you were taking the other side of the argument, but
you'd soon bring it back to me, so you would.
One of the most impassioned issues would have been, the closure of the East Galway Mental Health Services in its entirety, you know, right down to the final 22 acute beds.
Mm. And again, that was very divisive. And it was only during the week I was talking to somebody, indeed, in Ballinasloe, we were talking about it. And, you know, in hindsight, that should never have happened.
Absolutely, Keith. Absolutely. And I know at the time you were hearing every side of the story, but I do think the HSE failed the wider community at that stage terribly. I mean, you were talking about Offaly, Roscommon, Mayo, West Galway. I mean, the amount of people that found solace even when you had community, you still needed, you know, a small institutionalised setting that helped greatly an awful lot of people that were under stress and anxious.
And what will you do without it? I mean, I know that you're a publican and you're busy and you have other business interests as well. What will you do without politics, though?
Well, I suppose I'm not trying to advertise the pub, but we're 150 years in business, straight bloodline next year, Keith, you know, which is a significant milestone and achievement for any one family. But my son is actually away in Australia at the moment. My daughter is in New York. So at the moment, I'm sort of flying a lone enough kite, and only without the help of nephews and friends, I'd be finding it difficult to run the business and facing into a campaign where you know, we give it all out here when we go canvassing. It would be difficult even to try and operate both at the one time.
Yeah. The landfill site also was something that you kept a very close eye on.
It was a very emotive issue out here, and something that was also very divisive, but I think we dealt with it as best we could. I think one of the most significant things was the stopping of the receiving of asbestos up there at the time, and I think that totally refocused Greenstair. In actual fact, in the end, Greenstair absconded the site, and it was Galway County Council that had overseen the closure of the site, and there's exciting times ahead now in that, you know, there's significant investment coming for that site in the form of, it's a Connacht East Galway Eco Park. You know, I myself would prefer to call it the Kilconnell Eco Park, mm-hmm. but it'll be maybe a legacy that will be positive in the future.
What do you mean, an eco park? I mean, it's a landfill site, isn't it?
There's something similar an end of life landfill down in Cork. It's where you can create lovely walks around about. It's a significantly large site, you know.
Yeah.
A dog park area, you know, a kids cycling park area, and there's lots more of stuff that can be looked at that can be community based and also can maybe generate a little bit of sustainable tourism going into the future.
And is there still leachate coming off that landfill site?
There is indeed, and being managed.
Okay, that's, well, I wouldn't expect anything else in Galway County Council.
Well, you know, at a time there was a fear.
I know.
You know, I suppose, if you ask me, the greatest disappointment with regards to the arrival of that dump up there would have been the inability at the time, and I wasn't in politics when it arrived, but I think there was a wonderful opportunity for Kilconnell to have maybe received a sewage system at that time, you know?
Yeah.
And you could couple it with the leachate and an extra pipe to have it piped to the wastewater in Ballinasloe, you know, which would have been a massive achievement and a massive plus for the surrounding areas, you know?
So is there any new blood coming up in and around that area then that, that has come to you and said, okay, you're not standing, Tim Broderick, but I might stand. Is there anybody coming that way?
Nobody has approached me, Keith. No, you know, look, at as an independent, I ran one general election, I ran three council elections, you know, and, you know, an independent, it's a lonely enough life. Now, I had wonderful support, brilliant friends, great family, I mean, and it all worked very well for me. But it's onerous enough, you know, and the general election especially, I found, you know, like the parties had great backing in the parties, you know, whereas every day you got up, you know, you were ploughing very much a lone furrow.
A lonely spot, so you're saying to me that?
It's not that it's a lonely spot, but it's certainly, you know, I can see where people veer towards parties and that for internal support. But the political life, you know, the day in, day out of an independent, you know, it is very much an independent, you know.
Mm. Do you regret going into politics, Tim Broderick?
Absolutely not. The most wonderful 15 years of my life.
But it took a lot of your life.
Yeah, but I was born into a pub, Keith. You know, I'm all my life, you know, interacting with people. I love it. And without interaction, I would not be, you know, it makes me a better person.
Yeah.
And, God, I would never say that I had, of course, you'll have negative, poor meetings from time to time. But by and large, 15 years of, you know, absolutely delighted to be able to deliver. Of course, unfortunately, you can't always deliver, and you know, that's a regret, but, you know, that's the way it is.
Mm.
But the council chamber works very well, you know, bear a few, I would say. I've met, you know, mostly friends in there, and I've no regrets.
And is it something that if the children came back from New York or Australia, would they be ever interested in going into politics and following in Dad's footsteps?
My children?
Yeah.
Oh God, I doubt it very much, Keith. They're, you know, if I was trying to put them in dancing, I'd try and get them into the pub game.
Why not? Sure. I mean, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great,
yeah,
just to I mean, celebrating 150 years. Is it next year or later this year?
No, next year. Yeah.
Next year. Yeah.
Next year for the year, Keith. And, you know, you'll be able to loosen yourself, I believe. So maybe you'll come out some evening to us.
And go pulling pints, yeah. Sure.
Maybe even having one.
I'd pull a few pints. I wouldn't know how to pull a pint. Listen, lovely to have you. And good luck to you and to your wife and to your family. And it's been great working with you, I have to say. So just enjoy retirement. But whoever,
thank you very much, Keith. And likewise, the same. You know, and any time we had a little spiff, we were always able to get over it and move forward. And fair play to you for that, you know. And thanks for the wonderful coverage that you give local politics and the local voices in the area. Okay, and the best of luck going forward yourself.
Thanks indeed. Do you know what, though, Tim, if we did have a fight or if we did have a row and or otherwise, with anybody that I've dealt with, by the way, they never harboured, once it was over, it was over. That was it. We moved on from there. So
oh, yeah, absolutely. And look at, you know, as a presenter, you have to present all sides, you know.
Yeah.
And there is three sides. I always make out there's three sides to every argument. There's my side, your side, and there's probably somewhere in the middle, you know, the absolute truth.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. Listen, well done to you. Regards to you, and we will be in contact. And sure, while I have that time in my hands, I'll be popping around to see people I haven't seen in a while. You see, I'll have to keep having arguments with people as well, so I will, Timmy, just to keep the old teeth sharp. So I'll pop out for that conversation. But thank you so much for joining us today. Now, there's a wonderful charity called Hope Space, and I'm joined on the line signed by Declan Farrell from Hope Space, because this coming Thursday they're having a very special concert in the Galway Bay Hotel this coming Thursday, the 11th of April. And Declan joins me on the line this morning. So he does. Declan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining us today on the programme. Hope Space, I mean, I know you're extremely busy, and I was talking to one of your colleagues following that unfortunately Bowden tragedy indeed recently, but Hope Space is a listening service for children and teens who are negatively impacted by grief.
Correct. Absolutely. It's a free one-to-one in-person service, which is based in the Skull Enterprise Centre out in Ballyban.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lovely, warm, welcoming space out there where our trained listening volunteers are available to support any young person aged between 4 and 17 years who has been negatively impacted by grief.
And again, unfortunately, it's more and more. And just from talking to one of your colleagues, I mean, you're quite busy as it is, but you will always make room.
We are indeed, Keith. Now, currently the service operates just one day a week. It's on a Wednesday out in Ballyban. But we have been fortunate recently. We have been able to take on a part-time coordinator to help us expand the service and to spread the word out there that the service is available. And depending on demand, we will be very happy to expand that into more days per week.
Yeah.
Obviously, awareness is an extremely important part of our challenge now. Funding and awareness are our two big challenges. It's very important that, you know, because we have such a wonderful selection of listening volunteers who are highly trained and who are available to give of their time to help these young people, we want to make sure that people out there in Galway City and County know that the service is available to them.
Yeah.
And we're very happy to provide that service.
Now, so you're having this concert again this coming Thursday night, the 11th of April.
Yes.
And you're selling tickets for it. The tickets are very well priced at €20 plus fees on Eventbrite, and we have the link there. We can put it up online. Can they buy them at the door as well?
No, Keith. Yeah. It's very unusual in a sense, but one of the great things that we're able to announce today is that the concert is actually sold out.
Wow.
Which is an amazing tribute to, well, I guess the acts who are very kindly and generously donating their services free of charge, but also the people who are out there willing to recognise the work that we're doing and support the concert in order to raise some funds for us.
Good idea.
So we're extremely grateful for all of those who have contributed.
So
to us.
Who are the acts on the night? We might as well give them a plug then from there.
Yeah, the acts on the night, we have Keith and Lorraine MacDonald. Keith and Lorraine are the son and daughter of the wonderful Frankie MacDonald, who played That's with right. Joe Dolan's band for many years. We have the Bluebirds, who are Galway trio, Jenny Gork, Laura Lynn and Lorraine Flanagan, who are a wonderfully talented group of vocalists. We have Colohan and Aileen Henderson, that's James Colohan,
yeah.
Wonderful guitarist.
Talented.
We have the Opacas, who are making quite a name for themselves around Galway in the last couple of years. And then bringing up the second half of the show, then we'll have the amazing Johnny Doohan, one of our greatest songwriters, followed by Alton Conlon, and then we have the wonderful Kiltullagh Community Choir.
Wow.
So it's a really lovely, nicely balanced, high quality program, and we're hoping that people will really enjoy it.
Thinking of Johnny, I mean, he's on a journey currently as well, so I was thinking of Johnny and his family last night, and he's on a journey.
Yes.
And he's in our prayers and thoughts as well. So come here to me, Declan. Is it true that you'll be doing a version of the Wagon Wheel then with your wife, and you'll be serenading her and she'll be serenading you? Is that true, or is that just fake news now?
I'm afraid that's fake news. Yeah, yeah. We have to give the Trump-like answer to that one, I'm afraid. Yeah, absolutely. But the one thing that I would say, Keith, if I may, is that anybody who has not been able to purchase a ticket, if they are of the mind to support our work, we would be delighted to receive any donations they might like to make. Through the website hopespace.ie.
And again, I mean, that service is there, and if they want to get further details, do they just go to the website, Declan, then? That's where they go?
They can just go to the website, and there's a link there to donate.
Okay, so H-O-P...
If you want to make www.hopespace.ie.
For further details from there. And how many clients, I know from GDPR, no names, no nothing, but how many clients are you facilitating at this stage on Wednesday?
Well, we can facilitate 8 service users on per day.
Wow, it's really intense day. So it is for those that are working with them.
It is, yes, it is. And generally speaking, what happens is that they come to us for about 3/4 of an hour per week, and normally that might go on for maybe 6 to 8 weeks. So that's the sort of time span that we're talking about.
Yeah, but for the staff dealing with them, then that's quite intense with them. So they have
it
to,
is. Yeah,
they have,
it
they
is.
Have to debrief themselves.
And we're so grateful to our, and they're all volunteers, and we are so grateful to the service that they're providing. It's just tremendous.
Yeah, it's important though for them that they debrief as well, because they can't carry everything themselves.
Correct, absolutely. But I would have to say one of the great things that we have experienced since we began the service is that not alone have the service users, the young children, thankfully, had a very positive experience, but our listening volunteers have also gotten a tremendous amount of satisfaction from seeing that their work has paid off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's brilliant, really.
Now, I do know from Tony London and your good self, indeed, it took you quite a bit of time to get put this together to make sure that it was 100% right from day dot.
Yeah. We started on this journey in April 2020, and we all know what happened over the next couple of years. But we have a very, very dedicated and talented board, which met through Zoom calls over the 2 years or so of the pandemic, and worked very diligently at putting all of our governance items together, applying for our charities regulator status, getting our charity regulator number so that we could raise funds and, you know, prove our legitimacy in terms of our fundraising opportunities.
Mm.
And, you know, all that work paid off, and we finally opened our doors back in February 2023. Out in the Skull Centre in Ballyvan.
Good on you. Well done. It's great. Now, if you do want to make a donation, you can do so. Just put in HopeSpace, www.hopespace, and make a donation from there. And there will be no tickets available tomorrow night on the door. It's sold out. Give our regards to all taking part. But Declan, thank you for joining us today on the programme. Declan Farrell joining us. There was only joking about him singing Wagon Wheel. Good singer, though, in his day, I believe. Now, though, yet to come to the programme, by the way, we're looking at, again, something which I didn't know about until I was reading the brief last evening, which is called Deep Fake Explicit Images. We'll be looking at that on today's programme, so we'll be giving you a chance to get educated on that. I was certainly educated on it, definitely. And we're also looking at the numbers presenting at Galway's hospitals and revealing how the introduction of triage GP in the A&E might just help from there, because the figures are extremely high, I have to say. We're also looking at, are you eating right for midlife? Galway Gardaí, indeed, will be seeking your assistance as well, because the Garda slot is there today. Again, we'll also be looking at trending matters with Joshua Byrne. Today he educates me each and every Tuesday from there. We'll also be joined by Kieran McNally. We're looking at pain and survival brain, so we are today. And Kieran is a pain movement specialist and has recently written a book on chronic pain. And then we're going to finish out with our wonderful music mornings indeed here on Galway BFM. And we have a very talented singer-songwriter joining us in studio, performing an original piece of music that he has written over a number of years indeed. But he joins us as well. So all of that and more to come between now and the end of the programme. In the meantime, though, if you want to get in contact with us, you can do so. You can text us to 086 38 33 55 3. And you can also call us on 091 770077. That's 091 770077, if you want to get in contact with us. Now, though, it is 10 o'clock. First hour is gone. Don't know where it went to, but it's gone. We're with you until 12. Stay with us during news, and we'll talk to you shortly.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, located on the Monavay Road.